Many of us think about when we get to the age of receiving a pension that we can sit back in a lounge chair, perhaps have a daily margarita, have a book in our lap, and then look in our bank account, and every month a nice pension deposit is coming in. But in order to get there, one, number one, of course, has to work hard, but they also need good advice to get there. And today, I'm fortunate to have a podcast with an expert in the field of Israeli pensions and savings. His name is Yitzhak Sina, someone I've been fortunate to work with for many years. And I think it's a podcast that one, no matter what stage, if they're at the beginning of their career, mid-career, or at the point where they're about to collect their pension, will get something out of this podcast. So sit back and enjoy.
Wake up.
From Jerusalem, Israel, this is From the Midwest to the Middle East, the podcast that explores everything new in U.S. and Israeli economy. Here's your host, Philip Stein.
I'm really pleased to be having this podcast today. First of all,
this episode is brought to you by Philip Stein and Associates, the largest U.S. CPA firm in Israel, providing U.S. tax services to Israelis, Americans, corporations, startups, and anyone else needed.
And I'm very excited as part of our series of the Outlook for 2024. A friend, a colleague, Yitzhak Sina, a leading specialist in the world of insurance, pensions, and savings. It's someone I've worked with for many years, who has helped me, my clients, and I think his knowledge is something that we're all going to benefit from this conversation. Welcome, Yitzhak.
Thank you very much, Philip. Nice to be with you again.
So I have a lot of questions. I think my listeners, this is an area that people really need help. So let me jump right in. You know, there is the saying, the only thing in life that is certain is death and taxes. However, if you're lucky, you also someday may be eligible for a pension. So let's start with the most important things people should know about Israeli pension plans, which there's a lot of people sort of don't think they're going to get there. If they're lucky, they get to the age of pension and suddenly it's there. And I've just found over the years, there's a lot of lack of understanding, confusion, and just maybe give us a little background on how you see things.
Okay. Look, basically speaking, the pension setup in Israel, it is, it's quite a complex one. All the time being changed, being altered for all sorts of reasons that we may go into a bit later. But basically speaking, if we're talking about employees, and basically I think most of the people that we are talking to are employees, whether they have their own corporation or whether they're regular employees, then basically speaking, they're probably fine that there are, when we're talking about pension plans per se, we're talking about, in fact, two separate types of pension plan. One is what is called Bituach Menahalim. The second one is Keren Pensia. And then, of course, you've got things added on to that, like Akupat Gemel or Keren Hishtalmut. So if we talk about Keren Hishtalmut, which is just basically a savings plan, employee-employer savings plan, that's something which is not, in actual fact, a pension, but it's there to be accumulated and can be used in interim periods of every 6 years, although it's probably worthwhile keeping a hold of that until retirement age. But basically, if we're talking about Bituach Menahalim or we're talking about Keren Pensia, we're talking about employer-employee savings plans, where the employee pays something like 5 to 6% of his salary, the employer pay something like 15%, 16% of the salary, and that money is invested in various, shall we say, investment tracks, which nowadays, with the newer type of policies, from those issued from 2004 going forward, the investment track can be changed, it can be chosen and altered from time to time by the employee himself. The money accumulates, of course, the higher the salary, the higher the contributions, and then the higher the accumulation. And we have an accumulation at retirement age, which is then apportioned into monthly payments. which are available for the whole of the life of the employee himself, and in certain circumstances also to his beneficiaries or to his dependents in the case of his death, with a proviso also for disability income insurance in the case of somebody becoming disabled during his period of employment. That's basically the setup in Israel, and that's what people are looking forward to actually receiving when they retire. And when they are available, are then able to access the accumulation, whether as some of it as a one lump sum or all of it as a pension, a monthly pension, depending on each and every individual's particular preference.
All right. So I was thinking to myself, when I had the good fortune of going to business school in the United States and getting an MBA. And when it was my 25th reunion, when we went back, that we were invited back to the school, they did a wonderful weekend for alumni. I was in my mid-40s. They really did it up well. And a friend of mine later said, well, that's because when you're in your mid-40s, that's sort of when you're hitting the, you know, your career and your earning power. And it's probably when they can get the biggest contribution for you from you. But if I think about, let's talk about clients of ours, mine, who are, let's say, in that age group, in their 40s, maybe they've had, as today, no one sort of stays one job through their whole career. They've been through a few employers, but the trend is they're earning well. What advice would you give to someone in that age category? Anything specific in terms of what they should be doing, either with their pension, with their bituch melim, with Keren Hishtalmut, etc.?
Well, obviously, yeah, you're quite right in referring to this age group. This age group is the one that's beginning to think about, you know, what's going to happen when I retire,
or right.
where am I going to be at? There are all sorts of things coming in at that age group. They've got children who are already teenagers or young adults, and they're starting their careers, etc., etc. And again, this is when the time that people really, really start taking a look at where they stand. Yeah, you say they're usually at that stage in life, they're earning well. They're at, almost at their peak, if not at their peak. And they're looking and seeing, okay, maybe it's time that I take a look at what's going to happen when I actually retire, because it's coming closer and closer and closer. It's getting there. And that's the time to start looking at it seriously, taking advice about what type of plan you should be in, what type of plan that is suited for your personal situation at this time, your family situation, what your outlook is for the future, and what your expenses are on a monthly basis, and how will you be able, if you will be able, to retain that standard of living when you actually stop earning and commence only spending, which is something which... Again, people at age 40, 45, 50, they're beginning to look at it.
Right, but I'd really like to know, usually people only show up when they're in their 60s. They don't tend to show up, correct?
Yeah, but having said that, in recent years in Israel, the awareness is beginning to increase. It's certainly, you're correct. People start taking a look at it in their late 50s or 60s, but... there's been a lot of promotion of, shall we say, retirement awareness or financial awareness, and people starting to look at these things a bit earlier. I wouldn't say they're really going into it very, very, very thoroughly, but they are beginning to take to because more and more information is available all the time because of the media and people are catching up on what's going on, and they're wanting to see that A, they're getting value for money, and that's very much the case these days. People are looking to see, hey, what management fees am I paying? Hey, what kind of returns am I getting on my investments? Something which, by the way, in the United States is very, very common. People with their retirement plans, their 401k, et cetera, they're looking all the time to see what kind of returns they're getting on their investment. They're not taking it as something, you know, that has to be left lying and not dealt with. And so the awareness is beginning to drop in age. And certainly, I would say, there are things that should be and can be addressed at this age group and should be addressed at this age group in order to make changes which will seriously have an impact on the amount of accumulation that one will reach eventually at retirement age, which at the moment is 67, but certainly may increase in the future.
Also, I'm going to make a personal reference, but I'm thinking when I first started professionally after my schooling, mid-70s, I was called into the office of a partner. You know, he had one of those nice corner offices in a high rise in Chicago. And on his desk, he had a copy of the Internal Revenue Code, the most current copy, and it said, what year? 1954. In other words, 20 years, the tax laws had not changed for 20 years. It seems in your field, because with professionals in your area, professionals, accountants, there are so many changes that I find people can't keep up with them in the whole pension savings. Is that accurate to say?
That is so accurate. It is so accurate. It's sad. Certainly, if you want to be an up-to-date professional, you really have to be on your toes and you have to be updated all the time. In fact, I personally belong to several professional groups which all the time are looking at tax regulations and changes which have been made and how they impact on the past and how they impact going forward. And really, the income tax ordinance in Israel is changing so often, it's quite unbelievable. It's like a patchwork quilt. You're just adding on another patchwork all the time and trying to catch up with new regulations and updated regulations. Okay, that comes with the field. You just have to make sure you're there, you're on the scene. Otherwise, you'll find yourself really, really behind on what's going on.
No, I've seen that. I think it's really critical that you have to work with someone like you who's up to date, because it seems to be very easy to just miss some things, which in this, as you say, for people's savings, their pensions, what they'll have at a later age is really critical. Let me touch upon another thing I see in my practice. Again, I think in the world, particularly with high tech, where people do change jobs, they may be with a company 4 or 5 years, the company may be successful or not, but when they leave that job, they have an opportunity to sort of dip into their pension plan, their bituch menahalim, you know, to take out a certain portion tax-free. What's your opinion on that? Because they may say, well, I need a new car. I need to do some shiputzim.
Well, that's of course a very moot point. Again, it very much depends upon the type of advice that you're getting. I mean, if you're looking at what the accumulation that you're getting at age, at retirement age, that accumulation is based on the amount of accrual of pitsuim or severance pay and of the provident fund, the two amounts together. Now, there's no question that when you leave a place of employment, you can, by tax law, you can withdraw a certain amount of money tax-free. That's the money of your severance pay, of your pitsuim. However, what does that mean in actual fact? It means that you're taking out a loan on your pension. In actual fact, you're putting a lien clause on your pension, and you're going to get less pension as a result of that. Now, having said that, There are some people who can turn around and say, listen, take the money and run. You know, you're not getting, you don't know what's going to happen in the future. So use the money in the meantime. And then there are other people who will turn around and say, no, this is my pension money. It's sacred. I'm not going to touch it. As a rule of thumb, however, I would say that with the present income tax regulations, when we're coming to retirement age, we are entitled to certain tax benefits. And those tax benefits, the maximum tax benefits that you can achieve are if you have accumulations for the last of severance pay, sorry, for the last 32 years. Mm-hmm. And having said that, I would say that if you have out-of-pocket expenses, serious expenses, up to age 35, it would not be a catastrophe to cash in part of your accumulation.
Interesting.
Obviously, yes, you'd be taking out a loan on your pension. You would have a lesser pension because you would have a less accrual. But as I said before, you would not be harming the tax benefits to which you're entitled at age 67. So after age 35, my advice all the way down the line, unless there's a catastrophe which has to be met, of unemployment, for example, and having to provide for an interim period, I would say do not touch severance pay. Do not touch the accumulations in your pension. You're going to need them. But again, that's being wise when you can afford to be wise. There's some cases where, you know, you just have to take it.
All right. So that leads me to my next question. And I'm now looking at a couple in their 30s, both gainfully employed. They're making, you know, as the contributions that you had mentioned before, the employer is contributing. They're paying their expenses, but they're not saving beyond that. They're not saving beyond their pension and bituch medalim or tochnit pensia. From your experience, do you think they're going to have enough money to live on comfortably when they hit pension age?
Well, here's the thing.
In other words, is the Israeli system set up to provide a comfortable retirement, or are they going to have to maybe skip a vacation some years and put that money in the bank?
Okay, here's the thing. In the old days, or the older days, when many people were government employees, or they belonged to the veteran pension funds. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about people who started taking their pension or started earning and contributing to their pensions in the 1990s. In actual fact, before 1995, the assumption then was, and the calculation was, that if you work for at least 35 years of employment, you can expect that your pension will be 70% of your average salary over the whole period of time. Mm-hmm. 70%, of course, is gross, but 70% right. Gross might easily be 50% net, mm-hmm. and 50% net is fine. Nowadays, with the newer plans, the most we can expect to get from 35 years of employment is 50% of the qualifying salary.
Wow.
And so if you do not put money aside, additional money aside, you're going to have to drop your standard of living without any question whatsoever. And okay, that's where things like perhaps Keren Hishtalmut come in, where that money also can be used as a backup for a pension. But again, the serious thing is that the most pension you can expect nowadays, and we're talking about the 45 and 50-year-olds today, the most they can expect to get in pension is 50% of the qualifying salary.
All right, so that perfect segue into my final question. What is your advice, and I guess maybe we heard a little of it already, regarding what people should do with their Keren Hishtalmuts, okay?
Well, first of all, when we're talking about Keren Hishtalmut, they'll have to have a conversation with their CPA. Mm-hmm. and to look at the ramifications tax-wise in the US, because as a well-known factor, Karen Hishtalmut, up to a salary of about 16,000 shekels a month, it is tax-free in Israel. The employer's contribution are not taxable in Israel. The situation in the United States, of course, is different. There are capital gains tax to be taken into account. There are employer's contributions to be taken into account. And here the CPA must be the guiding factor. Many, many times I've spoken to CPAs whose advice to U.S. citizens has been, do not have a Keren Hishtalmut, don't hold it for more than 6 years. And when it's up to 6 years and you can take the money out, take it out and then put it into something which is going to be an annuity when you actually reach retirement. And therefore, in that respect, of course, you're complying with U.S. requirements and you're delaying taxes and all sorts of things. So it really is a matter of getting the right advice. And again, there are people who, as you must remember, that every 6 years they want to change the Subaru or whatever it is and use that money for that. I certainly don't think it's a good thing for U.S. citizens to accumulate huge amounts in the Keren Hishtalmut because of the taxation liability in the States.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Because in Israel, there is no tax. Okay. Okay. So Yitzhak, or I'm going to already use the name that we really use, Skotzi, that's how you're known. If my clients or anybody listening to this podcast wants to know more or would like your advice, how can they be in touch?
Well, that's fine. Listen, I'm obviously glad to be able to give advice to any U.S. citizens who need to bridge the gap and find what they should be doing and how they should be going about doing it. I'm more than pleased to receive clients. So they can contact me at my cell phone, which is 054-6216-261. And I'll be pleased to give any input. Obviously, all the recommendations or all the advice that I give, I give it after a consultation with the CPA and with direct coordination with him.
And your email?
My email is Yitzhak, as it's fully Y-I-T for Tommy, S-C-H-A-K, Strudel, YCINA.com.
Okay. Well, this is very helpful to me and I think to my listeners. And again, as you say, there's bound to be developments in this area and changes in what you hinted that, as the population gets older, maybe retirement is going to be delayed. You know, it's going to be pushed up. That's certainly something that's written about both in the Israeli and the U.S. press. So I thank you for taking the time and sharing your knowledge.
I hope you enjoyed our podcast. Feel free to visit us at www.pstein.com or look for Philip Stein & Associates on Facebook and LinkedIn.